Our times. Now, here is your host, Tamara Scott.
And good Monday morning. I am Tamara Scott. What a surprise out there, this white ground covering. We kept listening to the forecast and preparing our weekend plans. We had a harp to move, and we need clear gravel roads to do that. And they kept saying, no accumulation, or little if any. And guess what? We were snowed in Monday. There are four-wheel drives in the ditch. It is amazing out there how quickly it came upon us, even with the benefit of the meteorologists and forecasters, which just makes me have to chuckle when they want to tell us about global warming and our 20-year prediction when they can't get the 24 hours exactly correct or even close in some cases. So that's my little humor. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend. Some of you probably had your Christmas decorations up already. Many may now be embarking on that. We're entering the season of Advent. Maybe that's something you do with your family. Maybe you've never done it before, but there are resources on the web, and some of your churches may also have resources for you. Consider doing Advent with your children at home. And I know some individuals as adults who just do it alone, but it's a time of spiritual growth and reflection and refinement. And what a better time than the birth of when we celebrate the birth of our Savior and taking time out for the season of Advent in our heart. A couple of things I want to update you on for those of us who are through the election and relieved to be through the election. We also know it's not quite over yet. They seem to be taking longer and longer time periods to clear up here in America. The more systems that we have, computerized systems, and yet the election process seems to continually grow and take longer. In Georgia, we will still be having the election on the 5th, December 5th, Tuesday, and that is one more area where you may pray that God's will be done, that His will would be to bless His people, and that the people would be obedient and have godly direction in their vote and uphold biblical values. And Gary Bauer, Campaign for Working Families, is committed to making sure pro-family, pro-life conservatives in the Peach State get out and vote December 2nd. It seems more imperative than ever, as we know how close we are to a Democratic-controlled Senate. And when I say that, it's not a partisan comment. It's just an actual comment that the platform of the Democratic Party is not beholden in any way to any biblical principles or the traditional values this country was founded upon. Also, Christmas shopping. Maybe some of you hit out this weekend and headed towards the malls. Christmas shopping just isn't bad for your wallet. It's also bad for your health. According to a study by the University of East London, found that Christmas shopping ups stress to dangerous levels. The study, which was commissioned by the Money Supermarket Shopping Comparison Service, found that after only 75 minutes of Saturday Christmas shopping in a busy shopping center, levels of stress doubled for men and tripled for women. The blood pressure readings of half of the shoppers rose to the at-risk levels, and 47% of women got headaches. The increase could lead to heart disease, hypertension, stroke, and panic attacks. Crowded stores, long lines, blaring holiday music all contributed to the soaring stress levels. 7 out of 10 people in the UK view Christmas shopping as stressful. Rob Barnes, head of the Money Supermarket Shopping, told Nursing in Practice, "That's why this year more consumers than ever are putting their feet up, eating a mince pie, and shopping online. Not only would it be a more relaxing experience, but better deals are generally available online." That's from Newsmax, 11/29/08. Interesting, isn't it? Because it seems to me, once again, if we'd get focused back on to the real reason for the season and not all of those greedy, whether it's are people on our list who expect too much, or that we're trying to gain the favor from people we may not even like, whatever that stress may be, if we get back to the reason for the season, I think we could fix a lot of the stress level. I'm going to read a story to you, and let me know what you would do in this instance. Ricky's dad was arrested, convicted, and sent to prison. He is confused about the circumstances, embarrassed because he thinks people are looking differently at him. He even thinks that somehow his dad being in prison is his fault. He feels guilty about the growing distance he feels between himself and his dad. Ricky is a representative of roughly 6,400 children of prisoners in the Des Moines metro area. Let me repeat that. Ricky is representative of the roughly 6,400 children of prisoners in the Des Moines area. Boys and girls like Ricky can benefit from the support that a mentor can give. Serve Our Youth Network seeks to link adult mentors from churches with those kids. You can find out more about mentoring and taking this first step, and that's through our guest today, the Director of Ministries and Volunteer Development for SOY, Serve Our Youth. Shane Vanderhart is joining me. Shane, good morning.
Good morning, Tamara.
Thank you for joining me, and thank you for the work that you do through SOY.
Oh, you're so welcome, Tamara.
I'm reading that story. I'd read it before, and yet when I read it and take time to read it on air, I fight tears, Shane. 6,400 children of prisoners in the Des Moines metropolitan area?
That's a conservative number. In Iowa, there's about roughly about 8,000. I've even heard on up to 9,000 kids who have parents who are incarcerated, and 80% of those kids live in the Des Moines metro area, so we do have the largest population. Waterloo also has a large population as well, Cedar Rapids, but Des Moines has the largest.
Our listeners should first, I think, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong here, separate the fact that these kids may be children of someone in prison for whatever purpose, but these children are not necessarily bad kids.
That's absolutely correct. A lot of the kids that we work with have never been in trouble with the law. They don't have the parental resources or the adult relationships available to them that a lot of other kids have. There's not that much of a difference between these kids and just your average kid that you would run into in elementary school here in Des Moines. But statistics show, studies have shown, that as these kids get older, that 70% of them end up in the criminal or juvenile justice system themselves, and you really see a pattern start to emerge within the family. And what we desire to do as a ministry is connect these kids with adults who care, who love God and love others, and want to just invest in their lives to show them that, you know, this is not the route, this isn't the direction that they have to take. This isn't their destiny. They can choose another direction. It's kind of like when you were talking, I was thinking about 1 Thessalonians 2:8. It says, "So being effectually desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you've become very dear to us." So we desire to connect these kids with adults who will not only share with them, you know, model with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, but just show them through their lives that, you know, you matter not only to God, but you matter to us too. Oftentimes these kids don't have adults who do that. So it's our desire to provide that.
Well, Shane, I'm you know, we're already into the Christmas season. I just read the story about the stress levels of the shopping and all the busyness, but I can't think of a better way to give a gift back and to serve the Lord at the same time than to maybe learn more about your organization and learn how we can give of ourselves.
Yeah, great. There's a lot of different ways. One is obviously becoming a mentor, and we have a neat opportunity to kind of get a foot in the door doing that. A first step would be is attending a training, and we actually have one coming up next week, Monday, December 8th at 6 p.m., and anybody that's interested in attending that can give me a call at 321-5077, that's area code 515, and I can put them on the RSVP list. It's a free training. It doesn't obligate anybody to become a mentor, but it's a good place to go if you want to know what mentoring's about, the benefits of mentoring, how to get started in a relationship, kind of the matching process that we do, and the different things that make an effective mentor. We also talk about relationship building and developing assets within the kids as far as looking for teachable moments that you can help teach a life skill with the kid that you're working with rather than just hanging out together. It's being purposeful in the activities that you do. So we cover all that in mentor training, and that's usually a good place for somebody to come and learn, and you know, it's informal so they can ask questions and there's a lot of discussion.
And you just ask that they call you ahead of time so you know who to expect or how many
people. Yeah, exactly. That way I make sure I have enough training material. We're also providing dinner, too, so I want to be sure that we've got enough food. But that's, again, that's next Monday, 6 o'clock, and they can give me a call, 321-5077 for that.
That's 1 week from today, so I just hope that there, let's aim for three listeners out there who can say, you know, I'm just going to go and see what the opportunity may be. Shane, is there an age, that a minimum age people need to be?
Yes, to be a community-based mentor, you need to be at least 18 years of age. So we have our mentors, we've had college students, we've had empty nesters, and the whole gamut in between. And I don't think, I oftentimes there's senior citizens out there that think, I'm not sure I could be a mentor, but oftentimes they make the best mentors,
right,
because they've got the life experience and the time. And kids just so appreciate the wisdom that are present in many of our folks in the churches locally who have that life experience to give, but oftentimes they don't think, because they're not attuned to youth culture, and that they don't necessarily feel like they can connect. But, you know, I teach our folks who volunteer that you don't need to be an expert in youth culture. You don't need to know anything about youth culture. Actually, in a lot of ways, it can be, you can tell the kids, I don't understand this, can you teach me? And in a lot of ways, kids light up when they hear
right.
that, and they can, it kind of allows a little role reversal, and they can teach, you know, their mentor about things in their life too. So,
and they might feel vital then. We all want to feel like we have something to offer.
Absolutely.
So what a great opportunity. Maybe these kids could teach a senior citizen out there how to use the internet or how to use an iPod. What a great opportunity, both for the mentor and the mentee, mm-hmm. if I can call them that. For a grandparent out there, maybe your grandkids don't live in state. What a good opportunity for you to just be of service to somebody who needs a grandparent's heart. And Shane, you're not asking a great deal of sacrifice from these mentors.
What we ask for is weekly contact, preferably face-to-face, but some of our matches, our mentors will meet with their mentee every other week and make a phone call in between. We do ask for a minimum of a year commitment, and the reason we do that is because studies have shown that any time less than a year ends up doing more harm than good, and the reason for that is kids are just so, especially in positions like this, are just so used to adults flying in and out of their lives, and we really don't want to add to that. We want to have somebody that's going to be a stable presence in their life who will be there. So that way, when we go through training, we talk about also just, you know, consider the cost. If this is something that you can commit a year to, great. If not, you know, we have other types of volunteer opportunities that don't necessarily require a year, like participating as a visitor to the Polk County Youth Services Shelter. We do a ministry in three area juvenile facilities, Polk County Youth Services being one locally, as well as Youth Homes of Mid-America in Johnston. And at Polk County Youth Services Shelter, we have visitors who come in and meet with kids that could benefit from adult volunteer. And we have some that will just meet with one particular kid for the length of time they're actually at the shelter, and then we have people who come in and just meet with different kids each time they come in. So it just depends on what that person would like. And we have people coming in and doing birthday parties and different activities. And you actually experienced a birthday party.
I did, and I haven't gotten back, but it's something I want to do again.
Great. Yeah, it's something. I mean, it's a practical way to demonstrate God's love to these kids. A lot of these kids haven't experienced a birthday party. So basically the group comes in and they bring a sheet cake for about 24 people. And a couple activities to do with the kids. And generally, if you got 4 to 6 people, that's usually enough adults to get it done. But we have different churches that do it every month, and your small group can do it. Your Sunday school class could do it if you just got a group within your church. We've even had one instance, not a birthday party, but we had a pastoral staff of a particular church come down and spend time with the kids in the juvenile detention center as a staff activity. So, you know, that's...
Man, that's a servant's heart.
Yeah, and there's a lot of different ways in which people can come and serve here. And if somebody has an idea and they're not sure, you know, if it worked, just you can run it by us and we'll try to make it work. We've had people, for instance, say, hey, I'd like to do creative journaling with the girls in the shelter. Well, we've never had anybody do that before, and I certainly wouldn't think to offer that. But we thought, hey, we'll make that work, and the girls loved it. We've had somebody come in to do... to sing with the girls. The boys weren't so interested in this, but she'd play the piano and the girls would sing, and that was great. That was an idea sparked by a volunteer, not from us. So,
and imagine maybe if somebody would go in and teach them? Could they teach them like a crocheting or a tatting or a knitting?
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't know if we've had that per se, but we do have people that come in and if they got a life skill they'd like to share. We think all of that's positive, and anytime we can expose kids to different skills, I think is a good thing.
Now, when they bring the birthday cake, does it need to be purchased, or could it be homemade cupcakes?
It can be homemade.
And we brought our Sunday school class, and actually then some college kids connected with us as well, and they latched right onto these kids and vice versa because they are so close in age. But what was surprising, too, was the grandma in the group. She fit right in. She just sat down with those girls, and they were chatting before we knew it. They were fast friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just amazing. When you go into the facility, I mean, when the kids just absolutely love having volunteers come in, because one thing they're amazed is that you are giving your time to do this. You got to remember, most of the adults involved in the lives of these kids are paid to be involved, whether it's a juvenile court officer or even a teacher or the staff there. But when they have an adult that is spending time with them just because they want to, that just blows their mind, and they love it.
I'm looking through my Bible for the verse, and I'm not sure I'm going to find it, but I just read it about a week and a half ago, Shane, that pure and undefiled religion or faith is that taking care of the widow, the orphan, and those in need, and that would be this group.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, James 1 does talk about, these kids today are really our modern-day orphan. Especially the kids in the shelter a lot of times, there's a group of them that are considered child need of assistance, so there's been abuse or neglect that has gone on in their home. Kids that we work with in the out in the community that have a parent that's incarcerated, certainly they have a custodial parent, so they're not necessarily an orphan in the true sense of the word, but they, you know, they're missing automatically, they're missing one half of that typical, you know, family situation, and not that we're going to replace that, we can never do that, but what we want to do is just, we want to be a resource for the families, and that's what we talk when the families, we have a chance to talk to them about our mentoring, we let them know this is a resource for you, this is a support for you, this is just another adult who will model positive behavior and positive life skills to your child, and we assure them that, you know, we do not intend and do not plan to be a substitute parent. That's not our role, but just to be another adult who cares. And it's just the power of that, just that power of presence in the lives of these kids can be amazing.
Shane, I'm going to speak to our listeners again. If, you know, if anybody out there this last election cycle wondered where America was headed and why we were headed in such a wrong direction and what was happening to today's youth, here's a great way to have a little bit of influence. Who knows what conversation God might be able to use, what seed might be planted in the life of a child that may change the course of their lifetime as an adult. And so I'm going to challenge our listeners, if not you, the Christians, who then will train and mentor these youth? Shane, the training is Monday evening, a week from today,
mm-hmm.
6 to 8.
Yes.
Give the phone number again.
It's 515-321-5077. They call that. They'll get me directly. That's my cell phone. So.
And if they're in the car, can't write that down, they contact you. What group are you, what organization are you with?
Serve Our Youth Network. And let me throw out a website here, too. It's www.serveouryouth.org.
And let's just clarify a little bit, even though you work closely with the juvenile center and the detention center, there's also the shelter for the kids. Can you kind of explain the difference and to the listeners out there and the need?
Sure. Yeah, the Polk County Youth Services Shelter is a facility of 20 kids, 10 girls, 10 boys typically, and age ranges anywhere from usually about 7, not that we normally get kids that young, but we have on occasion, on up to 17. And the kids that are in there, a good majority, probably close to 80%, actually come from the juvenile detention center. I'll explain that in a second. So they're coming to the detention center for a number of reasons, or I mean to the shelter from the detention center for a number of reasons, like they're ordered to a placement, but the judge determined they don't need to wait in a locked detention facility while they wait for bed space to open up, or sometimes they are going to start a drug treatment program, and the judge has determined that they'd like some structured setting for them to do that in. So those are some circumstances why a kid coming out of the detention center would be ordered to shelter placement. Or maybe they're trying to get things worked out with their family to transition back in. They just need kind of it's a transition. The shelter is meant to be a transition center. It's not, both facilities not meant to be long-term. But there are kids actually in the shelter, too, that haven't come from the detention center. And they're there because there's been documented abuse or neglect going on in their home, and they've been determined to be a child in need of assistance, China we called for short, by the judge. So Department of Human Services has taken them out of their home and placed them in a shelter to await. Maybe things can get worked out with the family if it's a minor thing, or sometimes just to get placed with another family member or foster care situation in the community. So we got those kids. The detention center are kids going through what we call the adjudication process. It's the court process for juveniles. And basically the detention center, just liken it to a jail, except it's for juveniles rather than adults. And the age range in the detention center is anywhere from 11 to 18.
11 to 18.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have contact with these kids after? Have any of them ever come back and said thanks?
I occasionally run into them out in the community. Quick Trip seems to be a popular spot for me to run into some of the kids. I'll be purchasing a coffee, and I have a kid come up and say, "Hey, are you the guy, the Bible guy?"
The Bible guy.
In the detention center, I'm like, "Yeah, that's me." And occasionally, I've gone up to the state training school up in Eldora to preach it in their chapel service, and I'll have kids remember me from there too when they come back. But yeah, occasionally we get that. We really take a long term approach to this. You know, we realize in this ministry, getting immediate thank you and seeing immediate results is, if we expect that, we're going to be sorely disappointed.
And it would be the wrong reason.
Yeah, exactly. And really any youth ministry in general, you kind of have to, you're going to see that the fruit being born later on,
right?
Not necessarily right away, and especially it's true with working with high-risk kids.
And you raise a good point. We are so impatient as farmers. We are called to sow the seed. That's
mm-hmm.
it. And God will call the harvest when he is ready. And we just get so impatient and want to see it right away. About how many kids are in the shelter?
We have 20 kids in the shelter. And in the detention center, we have currently right around 15. Actually, the facility normally held 33, but there's been some changes with the county attorney as far as how often they actually detain kids and for what reason. So in a way, that's a good thing. That's something we'd like to see. But usually we were used to, most of the time I've been with SOY, we've had 33 and kids being bumped out of county to other facilities.
At the shelter, if a church, a singles group, a Sunday school class, a small group just wanted to come, not maybe even the birthday party, but is there other opportunities for them to come and just have an evening with the kids?
Yeah. Absolutely. The shelter has a lot of different opportunities, even to meet with kids off campus. We have, for instance, Meredith Thrive Reformed Church does a picnic with the kids up at Big Creek State Park every summer. We've had churches do movie nights, we've also, through groups, have gotten tickets to like Drake games and Des Moines Buccaneers, as well as let's say Iowa Cubs as well. So those kids can actually go off campus, provided their behavior has been good, and churches can get together with them off campus, provided we got some kind of a lead time and can set that up. But we have groups come in to do a variety of things, seasonal activities. We've had groups come in and decorate pumpkins. We've had a group from Glen Echo Christian Church, ladies there come in. They did a tea party with the girls. So there's a lot, yeah, there's a lot of different opportunities. And really, it's only limited by your creativity and imagination. if you have an idea, and we'll try to make it work.
And so with soy, with the shelter then, can people bring in the gospel?
Basically, we have two avenues where that's done really up front, and that's through our chaplaincy ministries. We do Bible discussion groups on Thursday nights in the detention center. We have volunteer chaplains. Groups can do that. We just need to know ahead of time. That way we can let the kids know, and they can opt out if they want. Everything we do is voluntary.
Sure.
So we just don't want to spring it on them and literally have a captive audience.
Right. Right. Now, Serve Our Youth, that is a private 501c3?
Yes, it is.
And donations go to?
You can basically see 2280 Graceland Road, Pella, Iowa, 50219. That's our main office. And I'll say again, it's 2280 Graceland Road, Pella, Iowa, 50219. I hope I got the zip code right.
And people can check that for Pella. There's only one zip code,
yes,
there, so they can pull that up and check. But 2280 Graceland Road, Serve Our Youth, SOY, Serve Our Youth. And, of course, that would be very much appreciated as you continue to minister to these kids throughout the Christmas season. But the work for you isn't seasonal. It continues year-round.
Absolutely. And I just feel so blessed to be able to be a part of this. I've been a youth pastor in three different churches before, coming on staff with SOY, and just getting to spend time with these kids, and actually having even an office in the detention center and having access with these kids has been a joy and a delight, and especially being able to get other people plugged in and getting excited about this ministry as well has been exciting.
We talk about gifts and we talk about works, and I would say that this would be one of those works that would be refined through the fire and make it. This could have eternal benefit, and I just encourage our listeners out there. I know you are all busy. We're all busy as well. But if you have time next Monday, December 8th, a week from tonight, 6 to 9 p.m., Polk County Youth Services, join Shane Vanderhart. His phone number, 515-321-5077. Shane, thank you for joining us today.
You're so welcome.
Listeners, it's a busy season. It can be a high-stress season, but it doesn't have to be. Be encouraged, but never be complacent.
You have been listening to the daily edition of Truth for Our Times with Tamara Scott. Tune in tomorrow at the same time for Truth for Our Times. Also heard Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock.
Now on Disney Blu-ray and DVD, just in time for the holidays. From the beloved stories, The Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian.
You have returned for a reason.
Comes the extraordinary next chapter.
At your service.
It's Aslan!
Are you ready for your journey?
You're meant to save us.
We have a chance to take back what is ours.
Narnia!